Today's scripture reading is in two parts. The first part is Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 6, the ingathering of the dispersed. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you, the wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The second reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, the visit of the wise men. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they'd heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Thus ends the reading.
Picture a church convention about 1,600 years ago. A gathering of self-important old men who take it upon themselves to decide whose writings will forever be considered part of the Bible, and how the church calendar will repeatedly cycle through various important events in the 33-year life of Jesus Christ, and at the same time giving a nod to festivals and ceremonies that are already part of people's cultures. They were pretty savvy to tie the calendar to the seasons, since the cycle of sowing and harvesting was far more important to people's lives than any artificial man-made arrangements of weeks and months. And of course, by starting this church year just before the birth of the Christ child, they played to our sense of wonder, our curiosity about the mystery of this special event. The very concept of God humbling himself to be born and live among us. But that was just the first of the double whammy of mysteries that jumpstart the church calendar. Just 12 short days later, the most inscrutable yet glamorous romantic characters in the Bible appear on the scene. Matthew is the only mention of the three wise men. And all we get are the details that he provides, which are very limited. Virtually nothing is known about these distinguished foreign visitors. Yet over the centuries, layer upon layer of details has been conjured up. Based on a reference in Psalm 72, verse 11, they have been called kings. The King James Version of the Bible refers to them as wise men. They are often referred to as magi, a priestly caste of Zoroastrianism, with a reputation for a keen knowledge of astrology, hence the star thing. They have been called sages and scholars. We have no idea how many there were. The concept of three has been assigned because of the gifts. Three gifts, three guys. And because three works so well symbolically. We three kings of Orient are. Not exactly. They came from the east, perhaps Persia, or India, or Arabia. But somehow, we three kings of Middle East are just doesn't have the right ring to it. Over the centuries, especially when artists were imagining them, the kings came to represent either different parts of the world, Europe, Asia, and Africa, or different stages of life. One is young, one middle-aged, one old. An ancient Greek manuscript even assigned them names. Melchior, Caspar, Balthazar. Their gifts, too, were very symbolic. Gold represents a standard of value and leadership, kingship on earth. Frankincense, a rare perfume, was a symbol of the deity. Myrrh was an essential oil used for anointing and embalming, therefore symbolizing death. So why has this mystical visit become such an important Christian marker? It is seen as the revelation, the confirmation of Jesus as God the Son by the wider world. That is where the word epiphany comes in. It means manifestation or appearance. So while Jesus' birth was announced locally by the angels to the shepherds in their fields, the arrival and acknowledgement of the kings that this child is to be worshipped was a manifestation of worldwide acceptance of God the Son. In recent times, the word epiphany has taken on a broader meaning. It is used to suggest a feeling, a striking realization. Scientists and philosophers, often pondering a problem for some time, suddenly experience a breakthrough, a discovery. Think Archimedes, Eureka. Think Einstein. Think Darwin. I stumbled across the word, small e, a lot when I was teaching. Writers sometimes use an epiphany as a literary device to enable a character and the reader to break through some personal obstacle. I think we all experience epiphanies in our lives. We struggle with a problem, always hoping that attacking it the same old way will bring different results. Then something or someone offers us a new perspective on the problem and we see the light. I think the fact that we are all here is the result of an epiphany, an awareness that this place, this community of believers, is where we belong, where we can learn and receive and give comfort to one another in the name of the one who comforts us all. This year, let us all take the time to be still, to listen for that quiet voice offering enlightenment, showing a new perspective on an old problem. It may not be three wise men at our doors, but it will bring us peace. Amen.